Hey everyone, you're listening to episode number 47 of the Live with Audacity podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Stewart. Today's episode is with Melissa Gopp, writer, blogger, and master gardener. Seriously, go check out her Insta. It's beautiful. Melissa shares with us a bit about her story of becoming a single mom and the healing she's done throughout the journey. She writes about her experience finding healthy love, how to parent kids through a hard change, overcoming and healing from trauma, and so much more. I was blessed to get to talk to her about how she struggled with the notion that part of the story isn't hers to tell, but still wanting to write about her life. If you've ever been through a divorce or a surprising life change, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Live with Audacity podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Stewart. Audacity is defined by Merriam-Webster as intrepid boldness or disregard for normal constraints. And that's exactly what we have here. The Live with Audacity podcast is aimed at giving you the courage to explore your someday dreams, do things your way, and start making things happen in your life right now. I'm a mama to four kiddos, ranging from college student to kindergartner, wife to a high school football and track coach, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Together with my guests, we're going to teach you how to live with audacity and intentionality, discover and utilize your unique skills and talents, and step into who you are meant to be in order to make your someday dreams a reality. Are you ready? Here we go. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning back in to the Live with Audacity podcast. Today's episode is going to be so much fun because I get to speak with the talented writer, gardener, mama, Melissa Gopp of Blue Venus Rising, and she is here to talk to us a little bit today about using your life experiences to better your life. Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you came to this realization that writing was your thing.
Oh, sure. That's a big question. So I have known that I want to write a book since I was probably 18 or 19. I had no idea what that book would be, but I felt like that was my calling. I can't say I took myself seriously at that point. And I went through life's experiences. I got married. I had a few jobs. I had some kids. But I always came back to, I don't really have anything big enough to say. I'm too young to have anything important to say. Then life happened. My marriage ended suddenly and unexpectedly when I had an 11-month-old and a 3-year-old. That was the hardest time ever in my life. I was totally blindsided. The upside.
We kind of talked a little bit about how hard it is to be a single mom. And I think we agree that being a single mom is like, I haven't been through anything else harder than that thing. That stage was so excruciating. Tell us what you kind of, how you got here.
So the upside of that excruciating experience has been all of a sudden I have a lot to say. So now I am writing a book about my story, which actually writing the book is determining what my story is. So at first, when I sat down to write the book, I thought, okay, I'm going to write about this traumatic experience of going through a divorce and becoming a single mom when I never thought that would happen to me. Surprise, surprise, that happens to a lot of people. And as traumatic as it was, I did have to get the facts down about it. But as time has gone on, I have had to take a step back and look at a wider lens as to what my story is, which has led me actually back to my childhood, which I never thought I would write about. Nobody wants to in my opinion, I thought nobody wants to hear about my childhood. That's not important. But the more healing I went through and the broader I looked at my story, not anyone else's story, it includes a lot of things that were blind spots in my life. So now it has evolved into this story about my search for love, starting as a little girl, and you don't even realize what you're going after. Mm-hmm. But ooh, you know, everybody's in search of this. So, yeah. Oh,
that is so good, because you're totally right. Every experience we have as a kid teaching us about, you know, spousal love and how to get it and how to keep it and, you know, all those things come from our childhood and then really perpetuate itself in our lives and, you know, the type of person that we end up picking. So that's really clever that you learned that and pointed it out. I think that's really valuable for people to take note of.
Thank you. I hope so. Yeah.
So what are some things that you realized from your childhood that kind of affected that for you?
Oh boy. You know, I think I realize a lot of how religion and parenting played into my concept of love. Just the brand of religion, the flavor of religion that I was raised with, taught me certain things about love, some healthy, some not. And then my relationship with my mom and my dad taught me, some types of love. And there was love in every one of those experiences. However, there were some distortions that you become comfortable with as you grow up because that's your normal. So I grew up with my father was in the military and he was gone a lot and that was my normal. So when the man in my life was not available to me either physically or emotionally, in some way that felt familiar and like, this is how it's supposed to be. So that's an example of some things. Yeah.
Ooh, that's really good. I think that's really, it's making my brain do so much work.
Yeah.
Just coming to those, coming to those own personal realizations of like, oh, maybe some of that had to do with that thing. I think that's smart.
Yeah. And I think it's important too to say, you know, I don't bring this up to blame any certain person or organization. It's not a certain church. It's not my father's fault. It's not my mother's fault, but it still happened. It still existed. And it's very important to recognize it because if you can't see it, you can't change it. It's not for blaming. It's for seeing and moving on.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important too, right? Is that, you know, a lot of times when we start to kind of dig into our past and our childhood and things like that, our first instinct is to find the people whose fault it is and blame them that they made us this way and these experiences that we had with them made us this way. But if we really think about it, the people that are in our lives aren't typically out to screw us up, right? Like I'm not out to screw my kids up, but I know that I probably have in some way.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Talk about writing a memoir on childhood and examining all the ways that my parents perhaps didn't make the best choices in certain situations. I am so aware of all of any sort of choice that I'm making that might hurt my children. And it's just unavoidable because we're all just doing the best we can.
Yeah, totally. It's unavoidable. We're doing the best that we can. Our parents did the best that they could with the information that they had. We have way more information now, almost information overload probably. And now we're kind of, I feel like, at least for me, I get kind of scared to make decisions at this point, but because you know, eventually you're going to you know, mess up and whatnot. But the key to remember is that we're all really truly doing the best we can. And if we can keep letting our kids know, like, hey, I really love you and I'm doing the best that I can. And, you know, I'm teaching you the things that I think you need to be taught so that you can be a great adult. I think those are things that if we teach them that now, that when they get older, they'll be able to look back and be like, you know what? It is what it is. And we, you know, we had a lot of love, and it's nobody's fault that these things happen. It just is what it is. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say, sorry, I'm talking too much. I was going to say, as kids, you know, we see it one way when, you know, a lot of times it's really another way. But because we're little, we don't obviously have all of the information. And so we make up the rest of the story in our head, and then we kind of take it through to adulthood. And then, you know, when we start digging into it and realizing things, we can kind of sit back and go, oh, I probably just didn't have all the information. And it's really freeing too, right? To be able to see it from a different perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so tell us, after you were divorced and started, you know, digging into your childhood and kind of where these things came from, how did that lead you to writing your memoir and what your memoir ended up being about? And then tell us what it's about too.
Sure. When I was going through my divorce, a lot of people just kept telling me, write, Melissa, write it down. Cause they could see the drama and the pain, and they know I'm a writer. So I started by writing it. And at first I was just writing things for myself, writing in my journal. Eventually I took the leap to actually starting a first draft. Which involved resigning from my full-time job as a single mother, which usually is not advisable. however, I gave it a lot of thought. I had a financial plan. I had a number for my savings account that I thought, okay, if I get to this number, I'm back to work, because I have to know where next month's rent is coming from and how I'm feeding my children. You have to be responsible. But at the same time, I stepped out and took a leap of faith and said, I have something in me that needs to come out and I need to give it the space. So it started as a blog. I started a blog called Woman Speak, which later evolved into Blue Venus Rising. And it was sort of where I healed out loud. I wrote about a lot of the issues I was struggling with and the experiences I was going through. And I think that was important to get the creative juices flowing, and also to experiment with my writing and see what resonates with people. So that was a very vulnerable process, and also very rewarding to hear back from people who were going through the same thing as me or going through something that I had already been through, and reading about my experience helped. And so now, though, you know, those posts are still out there and available on bluevenusrising.com. I haven't been putting as much effort into that space because I am pouring myself into what is now my third draft of the memoir. And I'm hoping to get to the point that I'll be pitching agents by the end of this year.
So cool. I love that. Okay, so where did the name Blue Venus Rising come from?
Blue Venus Rising came from the symbolism in it is blue. I don't know if you've heard of the seven chakras. So the seven chakras, blue is the seat of communication, and it sits right at your throat. And then Venus is the planet that represents all things feminine. So the symbolism behind that is, I have felt pressured to stay silent about a lot of parts of my story. There's some very sensitive things involved where other people's story their stories intersect with my own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that you have to walk a really fine line between being able to tell your story versus invading on someone else's privacy. But for me, being able to tell my story and my truth, so to speak, has been so important to me. And that's where the symbolism behind Blue Venus Rising has come from, is just having the courage to, often it's women who often feel forced into silence, or glossing over things or forget that happened. And that speaking up is a really important thing for me that I'm still in the process of learning how to do.
It's really hard. And do you have any advice for someone that, like you said, your story intersects with someone else's story, and, you know, being responsible and, you know, not protecting, right? Because that's not our job, but more right. of like not, what's the word I'm looking for? Talking bad about them.
Yeah, not unnecessarily, not out just to get revenge or
right.
unnecessarily inflicting damage on someone that you just don't need to go there. Right. But at the same time, sometimes you need to go there because it is so empowering to speak up and say what happened. That's actually the first step towards forgiveness. From what I've read and from what I've experienced, the first step is saying what happened. And that may be to your journal, that may be on a public stage, or it can be in a variety of ways, but saying what happened is the very first step towards being able to get to a place of forgiveness and truly letting go so that you are free again.
Yeah, I love that so much. So tell me about the impact that you, like, tell me about the impact that you're having on other women's lives. What are women telling you? Yeah, you don't want to tell me who, but what are women telling you that they're experiencing from being able to hear your story? Because I think, at least in my experience, it's, you know, we get so wrapped up in moving forward that a lot mm-hmm. of times it gets really hard to dig up that past and that stuff that we've been over and we've been through, because you really just want to forget that it ever happened and move forward with your life and all those things. Tell me how your story is impacting other women, and what have you heard from them about you sharing your healing and your story?
I have heard a lot. At first was a lot of the Me Too, which was actually before the Me Too had stepped up onto such a big platform. It was more just people telling me, oh, I went through that too, or, oh, I thought nobody else in the world went through that experience, or even just identifying with some of the emotions that I was going through. So there's something about connecting with another person who is in your same situation that just makes you feel like, oh, I'm okay. I'm not totally abnormal. I'm okay. It's not my fault. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, as I go along and I am more vocal about my story, especially in my daily life, not necessarily on the internet yet, is other women coming to me who I had no idea what they were going through, but I'll just hear all of a sudden, you know what, this is happening, and I wanted to talk to you because I've seen what you have gone through, and how did you do it? Or you've given me inspiration by watching you have strength and grace through your situation has given me the courage to know that I can make it through mine. And that's the most gratifying to me, is to watch other women step out on to their journey of having to leave something hard, or having to start something hard, and having the courage to do it is just so inspiring.
And it seems like your writing obviously is, it's really healing for you too, right? To get your story out. And I feel like, it seems like, I'm not trying to project, but it seems like even if nobody ever read anything, but that it's been really helpful and healing for you to be able to just kind of, you know, dump it out and say, this is it. This is how I'm healing. This is how I'm overcoming this stuff. Yes. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. It has been so healing for me. The process of writing the blog has been healing. Hammering my way through these drafts is so healing. And it's actually gotten to the point where there always is healing taking place. But I have experienced so much healing that at this point, I'm ready to be done with the memoir. And I keep it going out of service to others because I know how healing it has been to me, and I see the ripple effect. And I know that this is something I need to get out in the world, whether one person or a million people read it. It's just something that needs to be out there for the service aspect.
So great. Okay. So if you don't mind, for people who haven't really gotten to dig into your blog and your writings so far, do you mind sharing a little bit of your story and maybe somebody out there is experiencing something similar that they want to, they need someone to relate to?
Sure. So, I'm not yet comfortable going into the specifics of what happened. A lot of that is I'm still wrestling with in my memoir of what needs to be shared. But I will say that going through it, you know, the divorce happened because I discovered some things about my partner that, his lifestyle was not what I signed up for. And I had no idea some of the things that were going on. And I stumbled on to some information, you know, like on a Tuesday at midnight, and that just changed my world. And I can tell you things I've seen other women go through. A lot of times they'll come to me and say, you know, I don't think anyone else in the world has experienced this. And they're usually wrong about that. You can have someone who, I know a woman who her husband was living a completely double life, had another wife in another state.
Oh my word.
There's, you know, people who they find out their husband has a different sexual orientation than them, or maybe something with money is going on that you had no idea. So things that you get blindsided by and changes your world overnight. Yeah. You think, oh gosh, something's wrong with me. How did I not see that? How did I not see what was going on? And just how do you pick up the pieces after that? And I guess I'm here to say, and I'm writing that you can move on no matter what happened. You can move on. You can get through, you can deal, you can get through, you can move on. It's not your fault. And you would be amazed at the life you can create despite all the pain that you might be going through and surprise and questioning. So does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I'm looking at your My Story page, and it says there's nothing freaking unique about you. And I love that. We of course are all unique in our own way, but then also like your page says, the more that we let people in and tell our stories and open up to people, the more we relate to each other. Right. And we realize that we're not alone in the world, and man, that's powerful to understand and know that you're not alone. You're never alone. There's always somebody else that's been through what you've been through. Have you been approached by anyone in your life that says, how did, you know, whatever it was, you know, how did you not know? Or like, we all knew, but you didn't. Has that happened for you at all?
Yes. that just the floodgates opened after, you know, after everything fell apart. People came out of the woodworks and were like, how did you not know that was going on? And that, oh man, that's hard. But
how do you deal with that? Like if I am your friend and uh-huh. I am the person that's like, hey, you know, we thought you knew.
Yeah.
Like, how do we as your friend help you through a time like that? Is that like a total slap in the face? Do you want us to be like, hey, I think, you know, maybe you don't know about this, or, you know, how do, as a friend, how do we show up best for you?
Oh gosh. I think that is very personal depending on who it is. Me, I personally would want to know. If anybody thinks that something is going on, please tell me. And that's how I would operate in my life with a friend. If I see something with her partner that she's not seeing, I will absolutely speak up. And that's what I prefer. But I am a truth seeker, heavy hitter. I want to go into the nitty gritty. I don't care how intense it is. And other people are not that way. So I can't give blanket advice about that.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Was that hard to hear though, when people showed up and said, oh,
absolutely.
What do you mean you didn't know?
Yeah. You beat yourself up for a while and think, how did I not know? How did I not see all of those red flags? And everybody's doing the best they can again. And right. Especially when your partner is arguably the person you love the most in the world, and you want to believe the best about them. And you're not always looking for red flags.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, just the red flag thing is, if you are looking for red flags, that is a red flag.
that's deep.
Yeah. So this is something I go into. My book length memoir is not out there yet, but I do have a mini memoir in ebook format, and I go into that about the red flags and how did you not see, and how do you get through that and learn to recognize them as you move forward in new relationships, or if you choose to stay with your partner. I have seen some stay with their partners and work their way through. But I've done a lot of thinking about that and a lot of writing about that. So that is out there.
More. I think that's really deep, because right, like if you're looking for red flags, then you already know that it's not the right situation for you, right? And I think that's
usually
really important.
It can be a leftover effect of trauma as well. I say that if you're looking for red flags, if you're having a difficult time trusting your partner, either something's going on and your intuition is picking up on it, or you've got some healing work to do from a past experience, or possibly both.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we do tend to pick similar situations to put ourselves in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially before we've done, you know, a lot of the deep healing work that we've needed to do.
Yeah.
Wow. This was incredible. I am so excited for you to get this memoir out, and so I can dig deep into it and read all about it. I think it's really helpful to, you know, obviously I've already said this, but to let people know that they're not alone and that there's a place for them to commune, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And be together with other people that, you know, may have been going through the same or something similar. And giving women that voice to say, no, you know, this is my story too, and I'm gonna tell it. I think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah, and there are other sheroes out there who have already gone down the path that you're going on, and can there's some excellent role models out there, and it might be like your next door neighbor, or you just never know until you start sharing.
So true, right? That's my favorite thing about doing this podcast is everyone has a story, and they're all really interesting, and we've all been through some crap. And we can all open our hearts and love other people because we know that their story, you know, even if we don't necessarily know what their story is, we always mm-hmm. know that everyone has a story and everybody's been through some stuff. So just having that compassion for people in general, I think it's when I started this podcast and getting to hear other people's stories, that really opened my mind up to that, and just being able to know that everyone has something that they've dealt with, and coming together in community to work through it all together. I love that.
Yeah. I like to say we're all survivors of something.
100%. Yeah, totally. So last question, has it been, I know we kind of touched on this a little bit, but has it been hard for you to continue to look back at the past and write about that? I know you kind of said that I'm ready to be done with this memoir so I can move forward. What does forward look like? What does the future look like?
Oh gosh, forward for me, I am in the forward. I'm engaged to be married hopefully in October, depending on how this virus goes. But so I have an amazing partner I have a new normal that, life is never going to go back to what it was. It moved forward to something so much better. So I'm writing full time for myself. I have an amazing partner. I have my children. I'm living in Florida again, where the rest of my family is. So I'm with my family again. I just couldn't have imagined a better future for myself.
I think that's the key too, right? Is like a lot of times when we're in the thick of it, we're like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And then when, you know, we move forward because we have to, and then we do the healing and we create a new normal, a lot of times we look back on that time and we're like, oh, thank you, good gracious, because my life is so much better now, and there's nothing that could have happened except for this to rock the boat so much to get me to this point.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Right, because we get so complacent in our lives, and you know, we get fearful of what's on the other side too, right? So a lot of times it's not us that is ever going to make the decision to change something. Something has to change in our realm, to put us on a new path. And I think it's not fun, but it's nice to be able to look back and say, man, that sucked. And that was so hard, but thank goodness for it, because I'm in such a much better place now.
Yes, absolutely. So the other thing I like to say is the universe, had bigger plans for me than I had for myself.
Oh yes. Amen. I love that so much. This is so fun. Okay, so let's do a quick rapid fire. Okay. What is a book, article, person, or talk that's changed your life?
So it would be episode 209 of Elizabeth Gilbert's Magic Lessons. It's called Show Up Before You're Ready. And it's where that quote came from, where there's nothing freaking unique about you. And the deeper you go into yourself, the more universal it becomes. An excellent talk.
Ooh, I love that. I am going to look it up because, I mean, you're totally right. We get so hung up in the I'm not ready that we, a lot of times we don't ever move forward because we think we don't have enough tools or, you know, information or whatever. And then we get in that cycle of information overload and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's genius. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite Friday night at home?
So My favorite Friday night at home would be at my mother's home, which because of everything going on with COVID-19, we haven't been able to do our big family get-togethers. But we're having our first one with social distancing in place this Friday. But I love my mother's house. It feels like home to me.
Yeah. Aw, I love that. I miss my family so much too. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the people I spent all my time with pretty much. And this, you know, last 6-8 weeks of this has really stunk.
Yeah.
It's been hard. What is your next vacation that you're planning with your family?
So next vacation is a Georgia state park with my fiance and my two boys and some other couples who have kids as well. We do it every summer and hoping to do that again this summer.
What state park is that?
You know what? I can't remember. We just find something with cabins, with places for kids to roam, and we all have fun.
That's so funny. We actually camp at Texas state parks all the time. My sister lives in between Jacksonville and Orlando. And so she used to go camping up to Georgia, and I was like, I wonder if that's the same place. But anyway,
there's a lot of places up there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. That's so cool. What was your dream job as a kid?
As a kid, I had a really hard time coming up with a job. I didn't understand the concept of choosing a thing to be when I grew up. It was just, I'm me and I like to do all of these things. I have to choose one. So I didn't know what to say. And probably because I don't have a typical job now as an adult. I'm a writer, which is not very typical. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah. You know what? When people ask you when you're a kid, like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, everyone has something to say and you're like, I don't know. I'm being a kid. I haven't really taken much time to think about it.
Yeah. I tried on different labels throughout childhood, like biologist and pediatrician, but I didn't know that writer was a thing that I could say I wanted to be, really.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, what is your best advice to help our listeners live with audacity?
I think my best advice would be to make space for your passion and your purpose to come through. So the way I made space was for 30 minutes to an hour every day, write in my journal, even though I didn't know what was coming or what book was coming out, it made space for it to come through. And my fiance is big into sustainability and trying to find his place in that. So my advice to him has been make 30 minutes to just read about your field of interest and see what comes through.
Ooh, that's genius. I actually really, really, really like that because we are so, what's the word I'm looking for? Hell-bent to try to just be like, I know myself so well. Here's what I want to do. And a lot of times, you know, we get in that space where we're like, well, I mean, I kind of know a little bit, but I'm not really totally sure. So I think that's really good. That's genius to tell someone, like, if you kind of know, but you're not totally sure, spend some time there and see what comes through. That's smart. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's, I love that. That's going to be one of the quotes I use for your episode. I love it.
Great.
Where can people find you to get more information about your writing and connect with you?
Sure. Go to bluevenusrising.com. The best way to support me on my journey right now is to sign up for my monthly newsletter because it shows publishers that I have people who actually read my posts. And the mini memoir is out there as well. And the first chapter is free. I would love for more people to be able to get their hands on that.
Cool. Yeah. And I will link all of that in the show notes, of course. Melissa, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Hey, y'all. I had to jump in here real quick because I need a favor. If you are loving the Live with Audacity podcast, I need you to do me a big solid favor and share it with your friends, share it on social media, and go to the Apple iTunes link and click subscribe, rate it, review it. I need to know your feedback.
And I want to keep putting this out for you, so I really need your help to get the message out. Thank you so, so much for your loyalty and your super kind and sweet words. They mean so terribly much to me.